Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence in our lives, Lord. Thank you for the fact that we can worship you, and you're here right now, Lord. You're present here among us, Lord. And we ask that you would do your ministry in our hearts and our spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit to speak deeply to us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as you told Jeremiah, I will put my words in your mouth. I pray for that, Lord, that you would speak and draw us near to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Good morning, Resurrection Church, both here in person and online. If you're watching, say hello. Good to have you on. And it's going to be a beautiful day. Thank you for the wonderful worship. I didn't tell Jack what I was going to talk about, but the theme of some of the songs go right into what we're going to talk about today. We're not going to do Genesis for a few weeks because I have just feeling led by God to do something a little bit different. And something that sort of question I've had, you know, and question as I look back on my Christian life, even if you've been a believer a long time, you still have questions and you wonder, why this and how this, God, you know? But the question that I'm looking at today is really, how do you grow? How do you grow in the Lord, you know? And the answer, I'm going to give you a tip. The answer is not by doing more things for God. And I think that's sort of, a lot of people are in that trap. A lot of believers are in that trap. A lot of longtime believers and a lot of young believers are in the trap of performing more for God, thinking that if I do more things, I will grow in Christ. And that's not how it happens. And in fact, that was my life for a lot of years. You know, I gave my life to the Lord when I was young, and of course went through all kinds of seasons and things like that. But I sort of became on this thinking that if I did more, I'll be more fulfilled. And if I did more, I will grow as a believer. And what happened is I did more and I got more tired, you know, right? I tried even harder. And I didn't seem to have this abundant life that Jesus promised, right? Many sermons, many pastors, here's the message is, sin is bad, God is good, stop sinning, that's it, you know? And that doesn't really change your heart. It's true. God is good, sin is bad, stop it. That's basically a lot of sermons, but that's a lot of people's approach to the Christian life. It's no different than a lot of religions in the world to people's concept is, I just have Jesus on my side, but I'm still trying harder. And what happens is that it leads to a life of tiredness, no joy, and certainly no life. You know, you become very, and you don't realize you're doing that, you know? At least I didn't realize, you know, I'll just try harder, right? And then I found I was even more insecure in that, you know? Am I doing enough? I felt, man, this is a Christian life. It's not what it's supposed to be. Come on, you know? Where is this abundant life? And where? How come I never feel like it's enough? Have you been there? Right? Well, Christianity is just a bunch of do's and don'ts, right? And so we get in that mindset. Yeah, we have the cross, we have Jesus, but we don't really realize what the hell means. And so we carry on like before and this performance trap. And we become drained, miserable, and lack of joy. And we're no different than the guy down the street who's very religious and doesn't have Jesus. We're no different than somebody who's very moral. The difference is not really you doing more. I didn't know that. And I know I'm supposed to grow. I know I'm supposed to become more like Christ. And so as I look back, and this is something that God's dealing with me. As I look back in my life, I'm like, when are the times when I actually feel like I was growing? There's times when you can be so busy for the Lord that you are drained and you're not growing and you're spent and you're like, this is not filling my cup, Lord. It seems like the harder I try, the worse it gets. The harder I try, the more empty I feel, the lack, but I'll try harder. How many of you guys are there? I've been there. Because I'm certain I'm not alone in this. And I think there's a lot of people in the church, in the Christian church, in this church, and other churches I know, that are on that track. I'm going to talk to the empty seats and pretend like there are people are there, right? No. You've probably been there too. You felt the same way, and you've wondered, is this really what Christianity is about? I thought there was supposed to be. How come the guy over here that I know has more joy than I have? How come they have this relationship with the Lord that's different? And I don't feel that way. And I'm really trying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm doing all the right stuff, right? I'm going to Bible studies. I'm listening to this podcast, to tapes. I'm watching YouTube videos. I'm serving. I'm doing everything, right? And I still feel empty. Come on, what gives with that? You would think the more I do, the more filled I would feel, right? Good, but jump higher, right? And there's the carrot in front of your stick, and try harder, right? And you leave knowing that what he said was, okay, yeah, I get that, but I don't get that because I feel empty now. And so you leave discouraged, you know? And never really experienced what growth is all about, what really leads to true growth. And so that was me, right? And it was probably a lot of you and probably a lot of people watching online. And in this cycle of do-do-do, and it just didn't equate, you know? And Jesus says, I came to give you life, right? And more abundantly. And I'm like, okay, Lord, why am I experiencing barely a drip out of the faucet? Where's that abundant life, you know? What am I missing here? I'm doing the Bible studies. I'm doing all the stuff I'm supposed to do, right? But where's that life? Really what the focus ought to be. I want you to go to this. There's three main texts I have for this morning. The first text, all three texts are very familiar. But the main text is 2 Peter 3:18. Go to there. And we're going to talk about 2 Peter 3:18. It's here it is. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It wasn't until I discovered that it's all about God's grace. Now, what is God's grace? Okay, it means God's favor, right? God's favor, God's unmerited favor towards you. It's not earned by you, but it's given freely. God's grace is his favor. And for those of us who are in Jesus Christ, that favor is already on us. So there's nothing more you and I can do to improve upon that. It wasn't until I realized, here I'm trying to work for grace, right? And I can never get there, right? I'm working to grace, and I can never get there by what I do. And God says, no, you don't work to grace, you work from grace. Grace is your foundation. You work from the foundation that Christ has already, God's already accepted you, that God's already loved you. That's a different emphasis. It's a different emphasis, and it doesn't leave you empty. You realize every time you read the scripture, you look for the grace of God. rather than looking for what you do or don't, because grace is what fills your cup. Grace is what motivates you. You do that. Okay, here's Jesus. He comes to a little man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for dinner. What? He's a tax collector. He's robbing people of things. Who's he? Zacchaeus, warm up the grill. We're having a cookout, you know? And what does Zacchaeus do? He goes, you know something? Lord, if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to pay him back, you know? And he's excited, right? Why? Because grace was given to him. And from grace, he's like, now I want to serve. Now I want to love you in response to the love and grace you've shown me. You see that? Before that, he was rejected. Before that, it was, Zacchaeus, he's a bad guy. He's a tax collector and he steals. He doesn't deserve it. You have to work hard. You have to pay us back. Jesus is like, you know, I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus. That's different, isn't it? You don't work to grace, you work from grace. From grace, from grace. That's the foundation. I want you to imagine in your mind's eye a tree, a big, big tree, okay? An oak tree, one or a fruit tree, something. Some big tree, right? It's got big roots, right? And it's a big field of grass, you know, and a big field of this one tree, and it's strong, you know? Imagine that, right? Grace is the soil. Grace is the foundation where it's planted, right? A tree doesn't like go here and there and there and there. It stays. Grace is like that. There are certain things you and I can't change. The Christian life, and it's God's love can never change for you. Once you realize how much God loves you, He loves you, He loves you, He loves you, you are not have to earn it, it's given. God is love. If you embrace His grace, that changes everything. Everything. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Grow in that grace, that favor. Watch this. I want you to go to two more verses. Colossians 1. Watch this. I want to show you something here. Because I'm trying, as brothers and sisters that I've known for years and those who are watching, I want to shift how you think about how God thinks about you. Right? I want you to get His perspective on things. Because if you're in Christ, if you're a believer, He sees Jesus. When Jesus took your place on the cross, He saw sin. When He looks at us, He sees Jesus. It's hard to understand, but accept it. Once you embrace grace, you'll grow. Colossians 1. I almost said First Colossians, but there's no First Colossians. There's only Colossians. I didn't call it Galoshes last week, remember? The book of Galoshes. No, Colossians 1. We're making a Bible book here, you know. Watch this. Colossians 1, and let's look at verse 5. Let's lead into verse 5. Let's start verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Here it is, verse 5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Let's back up here. The gospel which you heard, that is bearing fruit and increasing. That means it's growing. That tree, that fruit tree, is growing. Why? Because of the grace of God that they've heard. Watch this. Since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. Just catch that for a second here, okay? It is the realization of the grace of God that leads to the fruitfulness for God, right? By the way, the man who wrote Amazing Grace was a slave trader. And he didn't understand God's grace until that moment. He worked very hard for God, very religious. But watch this. Since you understood the grace of God in truth, you see that grace of God understood first, right? That's foundational to growth and fruitfulness. Go skip over down to go to verse 10. Verse 9 and 10. For this reason, since the day we referred to verse 9, we have not ceased to pray for you that ask you to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in knowledge of God. Now, here's what happens sometimes. Not everyone. Sometimes people focus on the walking worthy part, you know. Brother, you need to walk worthy, right? You need to walk worthy. And that's true, right? It says there in Scripture, right? But I want you to notice the order. You come to understand the grace of God first. And that fills you up to walk worthy. Not you walk worthy in order to get the grace of God. It's from grace, not to grace. Does that make sense? You work from the foundation of love and acceptance by God because of Christ. There's nothing you and I can do to earn more of God's love. In one sense, when he says, Peter says, grow in grace, in one sense, we have maximum grace because of Christ. But then there's growing experience and understanding of his grace that fills your cup. Does that make sense? This changed my life when I began to understand that. I'm doing the same activity, but my cup is being filled by God, the realization. This is so important. We're going to spend a couple weeks on this, on various portions of it. We serve God from grace, not grace. We embrace God's grace. The grace of God, of course, doesn't focus on what we have to do. Yes, we do things for God, but it doesn't focus on that. It focuses on what Christ has done. It's finished. Jesus says, it's finished. You realize at the cross, more transpired at the cross than you realize. There was a package deal. It was, he died for our sins, but then there's a whole lot more things he gave to us because of the cross, right? Go to, stay in Colossians, and let's go to chapter 2. I think it's chapter 2. And let's go to chapter 2, and verse 6 says, therefore, Colossians 2, 6, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. I don't know if that's the verse I was thinking of, but it fits. We are to grow, but growing in grace is the key. Now, this is important, okay? So if I'm going back to this treatment, right? Let's just imagine, I have trees in my backyard, right? And I've got some mesquite trees, and I got some other trees. I don't know their names, but they're cool trees. They don't bear fruit. They just put out leaves, you know? And I'm looking at this tree, you know? And I had that one tree I was telling you about that was not growing, right? And I had another one just like it that was growing perfectly well. I don't have to come up to that tree and say, grow, tree! You know, I don't have to shout at the tree and tell it to grow, right? Try harder, tree! You know? Maybe it needs my encouragement, but it doesn't. What does it need? Well, it needs to be planted, right? It needs a good foundation. You can't grow in Christ unless you have a good foundation. That foundation is found in God's grace, his favor toward you. That's foundational. Things that will never change. By the way, there's a lot of believers that are like trees that keep uprooting themselves. They get planted, uprooted. There's no foundation. They're not secure. There's no security. But we are secure in Christ, right? We are accepted in Christ, right? We are loved in Christ. We are forgiven in Christ. We are righteous, declared righteous and justified in Christ. Those things can never change. That's like the soil that's firmly planted, that's there. That's where you want to dig your roots in. That's where you want to grow in that grace and knowledge of Christ, right? The tree also needs some good air, right? And I would hope we have good air. It needs oxygen, you know, has good atmosphere, right? An atmosphere. Grace is like an atmosphere in one sense. These are things in the right, if you put a tree in the right environment, it will grow, right? Into sunlight, the rain, those other variables that come in. But foundationally, it's God's grace. This is so important. That's why Jesus, you know, and the other thing is by its own nature, let's call it DNA of the tree. I don't know if, you know, what kind of DNA a tree has, if they have DNA. By its own nature, you give it the right planting, the right elements and environment, it's going to grow naturally. Right? In our spiritual life, that atmosphere, that foundation, all it has to be God's grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we grow in. It will grow naturally or supernaturally. Right? It's a different perspective, right? Because grace doesn't focus on what you and I have to do. It focuses on what God has done. It's finished. Well, don't you have to do stuff for God? Yes, but watch this. When you understand the grace of God, the motivation, the cup's filled, and you're like Zacchaeus, I can't wait to have you over, Lord, and I'll pay back people if I ripped them off, right? That's grace. That's a response to God's grace, right? And I don't feel drained telling you that, Lord, I'm happy to do that because you have shown me favor that I didn't deserve or earn. That's the difference. My message might be short today because God is gracious. By the way, when I was in that performance trap, I was trying to do, right? Do. God, I know you died on the cross for my sins. I knew all that mentally, right? Like all of us do, right? I'm not teaching anything new, but experientially, I felt the weight of the burden of having to do more. You can't do what God has already done, can you? Michelle, my friend called me a Martin Luther because I'd be like beating myself up for not reaching to that level. Perfection that God demanded, right? And so I tried to do that, and when I didn't do it, I'd whip myself, you know? Beat myself up, you know? Try harder, do harder, you know? And I was beat down. I was being bound by anybody else. I beat myself down to punish myself because I was trying to do what God had already done. Grace realizes I'm going to step and thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I don't have to do any more. But what I do is a response to what you've done. That's the grace of God. I'm telling you, that changed my life. And many of us here changed their lives as well. When you realize the grace of God, and it sometimes takes a long time to realize because we're so used to getting up, we're so used to the religious routine and performance that it no longer is a relationship that you're supposed to have with Christ. It turns into I'm here, sir. I'm a dutiful, obligated person. I'm here to fill this list, and Christianity is just do's and don'ts, not a relationship. And that's why Peter says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The knowledge is experiential knowledge. It's relational knowledge. Grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when you read Scripture, it's relationship, not to earn a better standing before God. That's foundational. That's been taken care of. I think I shared this with you before. Go to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. Because this is another passage that God used in my life that sort of to change how I approached him. Beloved, 1 John 4, 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Even our love for one another is a response to the love that God has for us, right? You see that? What comes first? God's love for us, and our response is our love for one another. We love from grace, not to grace, right? By this, verse 9, the love of God was manifested in us that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but what? That he loved us and sent his Son. Remember, God does the loving first. We accept that. He is the initiator, right? We don't work for his love. We work from his love, right? Bearing the wrath of God to atone. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Remember, the foundational is God's love. Love one another out of response for the love that God has for you and me. Grow in grace and grow in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in his love. When you read scripture, focus on his love, focus on his grace, focus on what he's done. That's a different mindset, isn't it? You can't do what God's already done, not to his level, but you can do a whole lot when you realize what he's done, huh? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. And his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he abides in us because he has given us his Spirit. I lost my place. We have seen and testified that the Father has seen the Son, has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15 and 16, here we go. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Here it is, watch this. And this is the verse that caught me. I still remember where I was at. I was dating Sharon at the time. I think we were dating. Around that time, I probably was. We weren't married, we were dating. I was in my, I can take to my apartment. I was in my bedroom. I had one of those old NIV student Bibles, you know? The cover had come off and I'm reading this. And it was like, I was in my bedroom, I was on my knees. It was like the Lord was directly in front of me and something clicked. Watch this. We have come to know and have believed the love that God has for us. Let me just read that again, because this, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. I knew mentally, I knew that God loved me, right? I read it all the time. I was wrong. I knew that. We come to know and believe the love that God has for us. That's again, I must have read that scripture a lot of times. If something clicked, something happened where it went from here to here, it was like I received it. I was talking to the Lord like I was talking to him like he was my best friend, and I understood his love for me. I'm like, you actually love me. Like I knew all the stuff, right? I knew the cross, and I knew all that, right? But I hadn't grown in the grace and knowledge of Christ until I realized I didn't have to do what he, I didn't have to work for his love. It was given, and I had to receive it, and it clicked. I'm like, I don't have to keep trying to earn it, right? I don't have to keep working to receive it. It's given. Just say yes. And the response, Tom, I'm telling you, Michelle, was praise. and love and adoration for the Lord and joy, right? I was excited. Now, I know I've had low days since then, right? right? That's the way we were to grow in grace, and right? That was, you know, I'm being reminded of this, you know, but it was like at that time in my life, it was like I was born again, right? It was like me and the Lord, because it clicked on me, like, because I had been so busy and I was going to a church where it was like, do, work, hard, keep trying. And I felt drained and empty because I didn't feel like I earned God's love enough, right? And work hard for God's love. And then Christ says, we have come to know and have believed the God, the love that God has for us. Present tense, and he's loved us, right? And when you receive it, that changes everything. You want to grow in Christ? Grow in your faith, it's you grow in grace and you grow in the knowledge of his love, and that will change things. And yes, there's times when we get off track and we focus on the wrong things and we go, but the thing is, I'm trying to bring us back home, right? And maybe for the first time you're hearing this, this will revolutionize your relationship with the Lord. No longer do's and don'ts, it's of genuine love. And when you love somebody, there's no drain, right? When you love somebody, Jack, have you been in love with somebody? I hope so, right? You can't wait to be with them, right? You can't wait to, you want to serve them, you know, or maybe it's not romantic love, where you love somebody. Let's say it's not romantic love, but somebody that you love, you're motivated by the love, you're filled by the love to want to give and pour in, and you don't, it's not a drain, right? Because you love them and because you're already filled with love, right? The first thing is being found, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to take a couple more weeks to look at some more elements of this grace because I think it's so needed. It's so needed. Yeah, we'll go back to Genesis. We're always going to study the Word. But my goal here is, as Paul says to Timothy, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, right? Sincere faith and good conscience, right? Ultimately, our goal in meeting together, our goal is increasing in the love of Christ and to love one another. That's the ultimate goal, not to put on a show, it's to get to know who this Jesus is and to realize how much and to respond. Imagine every single day you get up, you focus on, you embrace his grace, right? And you're like, I received that love, Lord. Thank you. I don't know about you, but that's better than a spa day if you go to a spa. For those of you who go to a spa, you know, that's better than a spa day. That's like, really, Lord? And that's available for each person here. And by the way, for all eternity, oh man, what we have in heaven, on earth, ain't nothing compared to what's going on in heaven. But guess what? We can have that here, right? Let's just give God praise. I just thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for that love and that overflowing, the never ending, like the sun every single day. It's like it's there and it never changes. His love will never change. His grace will never change. And as believers, let us soak and bask in that, and let his love fill our cups. Amen. Let me pray. And Father, thank you. I want to pray, if there's anyone here who doesn't maybe realize that, or let me just speak to you and speak to those who are watching. You can never earn God's love. It's just, God is love. It's who he is. It's unconditional. God is love. He displayed his love for you on the cross. And his love is deep and sincere and genuine. And maybe the difference of what you're looking for. Stop trying to work for his love. Receive his love. Don't fight it. You maybe had a past. Maybe you've made mistakes. God, Christ has taken care of that. If you believe in Jesus and trust in Jesus, your sins have been washed away, and you've been made a new creature, you can never outdo God's love. Receive it. Maybe you think it's too good to be true. Well, God's too big for that stuff, you know. It's better than too big. It's true. It's in his word. He loves you. Father, I just want to pray for whoever's watching, whoever's in here who you're speaking to. Maybe this is something new. Or maybe it's your reminder of the depths of your love that you have for us. The cross is a demonstration of that. And every single day, I pray, Lord, that we would wake up, myself included, Lord, captivated by your loving grace, that we would grow in grace individually, Lord. I pray each person here would grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and grow in that love that he has for us. I ask your blessing. I ask that everyone here, Lord, that you would draw each one of us here into a closer, grace-based, loving relationship with Christ, where we respond to the love that he has for us, and that we would tell others about that out of having our cup filled with your love. Lord, I pray that you would speak and lead each person here in a closer walk and understanding of your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, stand up. I just got to say, we're going to take, like I said, maybe one or two more weeks in this vein. Something not related to God's grace, although it's a good thing, is we're going to start, instead of restarting the men's ministry, we're going to start a couples group that'll meet for several weeks. And I think it's going to be a good thing, a really good thing. So keep your eyes open for that, because I just need to do is get a consensus on the days of the week that would be good. You know, I know everybody's busy, so we're trying to find out. Maybe we'll talk about next week what day of the week is best. Sunday mornings are taken. So we won't do that. Anyway, God bless you all. Let's say the ironic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be what?
Gracious.
Be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you later. Take care. Amen.